It tells us here in John chapter 4, verse 50, that Jesus saith unto him, Go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You know, our Lord has performed great spiritual miracles. We talked about Jacob's well last week, and a couple of days later, he migrated into Galilee, and there he did more miracles. And in our text, he comes again to this city of Cana, a place where he turned the water into wine. And he's greeted by a nobleman. We don't know exactly what he was, but had some title as a nobleman. And this man is passionately concerned about his son, who is critically ill, not expected to survive. And tonight I want to look at this man, and I want to look at what he asked the Savior, and what the Savior said to him. And the message tonight is about this experience, and I've titled this message, Healing the Nobleman's Son. There are four or five things I want us to see from this passage of Scripture. First of all, there's a relation between the two miracles that were performed here in Cana of Galilee. The first one related to a marriage, a happy time, when a young couple comes together to embark on a life of sharing their joys and their hopes. The second one occurred to a child, a needy child with a high fever who was in danger of losing his life at an early age. One took place at a wedding hall. They were prepared for a wedding, but they evidently liked to drink, and they drank too much and drank up all the wine. And the Lord of Glory took those big water pots that they washed their hands in, and he just had them fill them with water, and when they took it out, took it to the master of the feast, it was the best wine they'd ever tasted. They said, what's wrong here? Most people have good wine. When everybody gets drunk, they serve bad wine, but you save the best to last. The other one took place at a home. We don't know exactly where it was, about 20 miles away. This young boy is there on the edge of life and death. His father's desperate. He's heard about Jesus. He goes to find him. As I read this the other day, I could relate to this. When our oldest son was a small child, a year, 2 years old, they found out he had a hole in his heart. And they had told us at that time that he probably wouldn't make it to more than four or five without having open heart surgery. And at that time, that was a very, very risky and uncertain procedure. And we, Patty and I, worried ourselves to death about it. We'd take him to the doctor every 3 or 4 months, and they'd check him over, and it was a horrible experience. It was painful for him and uncomfortable for us. And I told about this fella. He's son's sick. He thinks he's going to die, and he's grabbing at straws. He's heard about Jesus the healer, and he goes to find him. He walks 20 miles from his home. At one of these occasions, he added gladness. He brought great joy to their hearts. Had the best wine they'd ever drank. At the other situation, he banished sadness. The Lord of Glory can make sadness go away. There's some people that just have lived lives that are full of sadness. I'm sure every one of you all know somebody, maybe know several people, who just had horrible experiences in life, whether it's physical things or emotional things or whatever it is. But this man, he just He was in misery. Until the Lord spoke and said, your son's healed. And he went dashing home the next day only to find out that the boy had been healed exactly when Jesus said he was. He returned to bond with these disciples here in Cana. And we need to know that the Lord Jesus can identify a place, or he can identify a person conspicuous to the incident in question. This wasn't the only child that was sick in the land of Galilee. He wasn't the only man who's distressed. He wasn't the only family member who was horrified about the prospects for his relative. But he was a special man because he was under God's choice and God's blessing and God's purpose. John is the only one who records this miraculous healing. There's another miracle recorded in the Synoptic Gospels about the healing of a centurion servant. And a lot of people mix these two together and think it's the same one, but it's not. It's two different accounts, two different experiences. John is the only one who tells us about this miraculous experience of the healing of this child. He was, I like John. He was intimately involved in the Lord's miracles. When you find Jesus doing a miracle, you almost always find John there. He was with him. He traveled with him. He supported him. He was there at the selection of the objects of mercy. He was there when Jesus looked upon this man and said, what do you want? He obeyed and followed the Lord. And the Lord selected a deep and blessed lesson to teach this man in this situation. There were a lot of important people there. There were a lot of influential people there. I'm not real smart, but I found out a long time ago that important people, influential people in the world, if somebody's successful, they always want to be around them. They may not agree with them about anything. They may disagree about almost everything. But if somebody's successful, they want to be around them. They like the crowd. They like the excitement. My friend Kent Clark has experienced a lot of that up in Michigan. And last year he was named Man of the Year in Michigan, and he spoke to the state Senate and Congress, and they expected him to come in and pat him on the back and tell them what good dogs they were. And it was on Facebook and everything. He spent about 24 minutes scanning up one side and down the other side. But these people were hanging around. And John records this miracle in infinite detail. He tells us about when the man came, about what Jesus said to him, about what he did, about what happened afterwards. The account of Jesus' miraculous dealing had spread. They got word back that it had worked. The child was successfully healed. This nobleman had heard of his amazing power. The word was starting to spread. Now, this fourth chapter of John, Jesus has already done several miracles. He's done several amazing experiences, and the word's getting out. This fellow's different. He speaks with authority. He acts with authority. We better listen to him. The father of the child had traveled to Cana to seek the Master. Now, I don't know when the last time you walked 20 miles, but it's been a while since I did it. But 20 miles is a long way to walk. It's a long way today when you got highways to walk on, sidewalks to walk on, but you can imagine back in biblical times when they had to walk on dirt trails, up and down hills, through woods and valleys, where there were thieves and wild animals around. This man walked 20 miles, with no certainty at all that Jesus was going to hear him. He walked 20 miles because he loved his son. He walked 20 miles because he believed Jesus could do something about it. He walked 20 miles just for the opportunity to beg. I don't know many folks like that today. He sought this miracle to be worked on his needy youngster. He had a child. We're not sure how old he was. We don't know anything about him. And it's not important. The one thing we need to know about this child was he had a fever. He was very sick. The father wasn't certain he was going to live. And he knew that he needed the Lord to heal him. The father's hope sprang up at the word that Jesus was there. When he got to Cana, he heard the word that Jesus is here. And he came to him, besought him that he would come down and heal his son, for he was at the point of death. He said, come down to my house. You see, so many people think that the Lord is limited in where he was. He has to be where they are. But the Lord doesn't have to do that. The Lord doesn't have to go there. The Lord can heal just by speaking. Jesus said unto him, go thy way, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. This man asked for a miracle that was a quest of faith. This man was desperate for help. But he had a little bit of faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. When he heard that Jesus was come out of Judea into Galilee, he went unto him and besought him that he would come down and heal his son. He said, oh, he can do it. He had faith that drove him to seek Christ to come. I thought about that. Would we do that today? Would we walk 20 miles or 30 miles or 50 miles for someone to come and heal our child? His hope was for the restoration of this boy. Not just that he'd live, but that he might have his health back. Sickly children are challenging for parents. And this man looked at his boy, and he was so sick, and he was fearful of him. He wanted him to be whole again. And that miracle displays the link between the miracle and faith. This man trusted Christ. He trusted Christ. In all these healing miracles, Jesus calls out for faith in those that are healed. These accounts show us narratives of kinds and actions of faith. As we read through this book of John, and we read through the other New Testament books, we find time after time different experiences, different circumstances, but they all center on someone having faith in Christ, and having faith that Christ can do something about their problem. He often directs those whose faith is weak. The woman he met at the well. He said, if you knew who I was, you'd ask for a drink of water. I'd give you a drink of water. You'd never be thirsty again. She said, well, give me some of that water. There are others he met that had no hope. The widow of Bain, as they carried her son out to the cemetery to bury him, she had no hope that her son would live again. But the Lord stopped the procession, raised him up, said, go home and take care of your mama. The Lord can do that. He calls those who have strong faith to rest in their faith. I don't know how strong your faith is. I don't even know how strong my faith is. But I do know this, that when we have strong faith and God gives us strong faith, He expects us to rest in that strong faith. I'm always intrigued with how people grab at straws. I've been in the ministry for going on 50 years. I've had more people ask me silly things. Uncle John's in a coma. Could you come and talk to him? Well, I could have a few days ago, but I don't think I can talk to him much when he's in a coma. Mama's unconscious. Could you come and talk to her? Well, I could have, but she's unconscious. But the Lord of glory speaks to those who have faith. And He says, trust. To believe in Him as a healer leads men and women to trust Him as a Savior. This nobleman's sorrow was based on the birth pangs of faith. He didn't have too much faith, but he had a little bit. He had enough. He'd heard about Jesus. He wanted to get to Him. He wanted to talk to Him. He limited the power of Christ to His local presence. He said, come home with me. My son's 20 miles down the road there. Come down there and do something. Touch him. Pray for him. Do something. His faith did not grasp that Jesus can reach anyone, anywhere, simply by speaking. Either himself or through one of his agents. He had a dark sense of the loss of his son, and that loss, that fear of his loss, caused this man to seek out the Lord of glory. Come find him. Come find him. Christ could heal as easily at a distance as He could nearby. When we pray, we don't just need to pray for people who live across the street or people who live in the next county or people who live in the next state or people who live in the next region or people who live in the next country. God gives to His people the power in faith to pray for people anywhere. Lord, there's a man in Iraq. He's been wounded. Guide those doctors that care for him. You think that prayer doesn't work? Works. When Jesus was present, any disease would be driven to flee. One of my favorite stories in the New Testament. We may look at that a little more. I like that story when Jesus was out there and He cast this demon out of this man. And the demon said to Him, don't cast us out. Give us somewhere else to go. And He cast him out of the man and put him in a herd of hogs. And hogs are smarter than people because they weren't going to live with that demon. They all ran over a cliff and committed hogicide. When Jesus is present, the disease has to go. The nobleman's faith was limited, and it was feeble. It was not real. He trusted in the Lord, but he looked more to his son. And our Lord detected the weak point in the father's faith and said, go thy way. Thy son lived. I've thought about that for the last 2 or 3 days. I thought, what did he feel? What did he feel? Go thy way. Thy son liveth. You know, faith in a wrong object, no matter how strong it is, never relieves the problem. Never. Faith in the right object, even if it's weak, will heal. It's not faith itself, but the object of affection that heals. Healing takes place because we have faith in Christ. It is power in the one we believe that heals. Man craves for outward and physical manifestations of the divine power. I saw a fellow on the news last night. I don't know what channel it was on. I woke up, news was on. And there's a young man, he's going to be in the Special Olympics starting next week. He's a bowler. And he has one arm that's pretty normal, and the other one's about this long, about here. And they were talking about how his town had got behind him, bought him some bowling shirts, and he was going to go and bowl in the Special Olympics. And I thought to myself, I know a lot of people that wouldn't trust Christ to heal that man. Did you know that Christ doesn't have to heal anybody? Do you know that Christ giving you the grace to deal with your limitations is just as good as healing? I watched that fellow throwing that bowling ball. He threw it better than I can throw one. The Lord's words, this nobleman, were corrective. Thy son liveth. We ought to welcome the rewards of faith. Without any further sign, this man believed the words that were uttered to him. The Lord of glory said, thy son liveth. And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. He accepted the declaration of Jesus that his son would be well. I know people that would think you were a fool. If you went to a prayer meeting and you prayed for somebody that lived in Shelbyville and you went home and God had told you he was going to heal them and you went home rejoicing in that, they'd say, are you crazy? You ought to go down to Shelbyville and heal them. Go down to Shelbyville and pray for them. Why? The Lord of glory sits on the throne of the universe. The spark of faith became a flame of faith, and it healed this boy. About that time, the servants came. As he was going down, verse 51, his servants met him and told him, saying, thy son liveth. What good news. Your boy has been healed. His fever left him. And he said, when did it happen? And they told him, and he said, that's the same time Jesus spoke to me. A little thing here that people miss. This man believed Jesus. You know how I know? Because he didn't go home till the next day. He didn't go home till the next day. If somebody got healed, you don't need to go home till the next day. The boy's fever left him when Christ spoke. His household became believers in Christ. See, the father knew that it was at the same hour in which Jesus said unto him, thy son liveth, and he himself believed in his whole house. Not only did he believe, but his whole house rejoiced in this healing and believed and trusted what Christ had said. And nothing less than a miracle would make them put their trust in him. Nothing less. The father had heard his words. These people hadn't even heard that. They just knew the boy who was sick is now well. The Lord Jesus healed this boy by remote operation. Sometimes Jesus would go and put his hands on people. Sometimes he'd spit in the mud and rub it on their eyes and they'd see. Sometimes he would touch them. And they would begin to move. Sometimes he would just speak and the dead would get up. But the Lord healed this boy by remote operation. He said, he's going to be well. And he was well. He healed the boy from 20 miles away by simply speaking. Go thy way, thy son liveth. The Lord Jesus had no regular plan. He had no set formula. He just said, he's healed. He would heal him in their presence or far, far away. It didn't make any difference. I used to know a preacher that was from Australia, lived in the outback. And he was telling one time about doctors. He said, we have shortwave radios and then they got computers and they have Skype and they could, doctors could tune into you and they could see you and you could see them. They could show them. And they treat people that way on a computer. And he was telling me how they depended on those things. I said, that's amazing. I said, we have doctors everywhere around here. Sometimes you can't even get in to see one. But this man trusted the words of Jesus. Sometimes he used means. At other times, the healing was direct. He just said, let there be. Lazarus, come forth. And he came forth. Young man, get up and go home and take care of your mama. And he did. What have you got to feed these people? We got 5 biscuits and a couple of bluegills. We'll tell them to sit down in groups of 50 and we'll feed them. And they did with 12 baskets of food left over. Sometimes he used means and at other times his healing was direct. The cure was not gradual. The fever of this child went away. Sometimes God heals things gradually. But most of the time when he heals, it's sudden and complete. The fever goes away. The healing of this youngster was sought by the people. And they ran to him and said, the fever left him. The nobleman pleaded earnestly for his son. In Luke 4:23, Jesus said unto them, you will surely say unto me this proverb, physician, heal thyself. Whatever we have heard done in Capernaum, do also here in thy country. He said, don't just do it somewhere else, do it here. But the Lord did no miracles where he lived for 30 years. No miracles. And the Lord doesn't do miracles where he doesn't want to. That's kind of hard for us and our ego sometimes to deal with, but that's the way it works. His holy life was sufficient proof of his claims to be God's mighty one. There are similarities between this miracle and the miracle that I mentioned a few minutes ago about the centurion's servant. This nobleman pleaded earnestly for his son. I can put myself in his place. I've been there. I know what it's like to cry and beg God, oh God, heal my child. This nobleman pleaded in person before the Lord. He bowed down before the Lord of glory and begged him to heal his son because he's at the point of death. Jesus said unto him, except you see signs and wonders, you won't believe. And the nobleman said unto him, "Sir, come down ere my child die." He said, "I don't know about me, but I do know my child's going to die if you don't come down." This nobleman was a Jew. He knew the law. Jews love the law, but he couldn't find any peace there. Somebody once said, "The law bids you run and fly, but it gives you neither legs nor wings. But grace lifts you up and carries you over your burdens." The nobleman heard the words of another miracle in Cana. Word had gotten around. They had a wedding. They ran out of wine. All of a sudden, they had 300 or 400 gallons of the best wine they'd ever drunk. This man did that. "If I can get to him, maybe he can heal my son." His son was laid aside with a high fever. But the nobleman sought Christ to come to his house. He said, "Come down before my child dies. Come down before my child dies." I've prayed that way. I've been there. I know what it's like. And Jesus said to him, "Go thy way. Thy son lived." Tell you the rest of the story about David. We dealt with that for about 3.5 or 4 years. When it started, I was an atheist. But the Lord had saved me, and I had begun to trust God, and we began to pray. They and I used to pray. And we took him back when he was 4 years old, and they were telling us they were going to have to operate on him within the next year. And we took him back to the Lexington Clinic, and they did what they always did, and they checked him out. And the doctor sent the nurse out to get us and said, "Come back here, he wants to talk to you." And we went back to his office, and he said, "Young man, young woman, I don't know how to explain this, but your son doesn't have a hole in his heart anymore." And we started rejoicing. And he said, "That's not why I asked you back here. I want you to explain to me what happened." I said, "The only thing I can tell you, sir, is the Lord of glory still does mighty things." And I think about that every time I read this story. This nobleman said, "Come to my house." The Lord said, "I don't need to come to your house. Your son's already well." At Cana, Jesus blames half faith and the demanding of signs, but he heals the child in the fullness of his power. Jesus saith unto him, "Go thy way, thy son liveth." And the man believed the word that Jesus had spoken unto him, and he went his way. You know, all the miracles of Jesus are displays of his sovereign grace. The Lord of glory can do anything he wants to. I mean, he can make a rock break forth and produce spring water for 3 million people for 40 years. He can make bread fall out of heaven every morning for 40 years. He can send the birds to feed a prophet in the wilderness. He can reach out to a preacher who's elbow deep in the mud and sludge at the bottom of a well and deliver him. And he can come to a man, a nobleman, in the town of Cana and heal his son. Jesus records the healing of this boy to show Christ's power to us. Does Christ heal everyone? Absolutely not. Does he not heal them because he can't? Absolutely not. Why does he pick some and leave others? I don't know. He's God. He's sovereign. I look at you and I think about some of the things y'all have been through. How did they deal with that? The answer is the Lord of glory sits on the throne. Faith in the wrong object never relieves, no matter how strong we think it is. People always trust in the wrong thing. It does no good. But Jesus healed this dying boy by the power of faith. Lord, come down to my house. Heal my son. And the Lord said unto him, go thy way. Thy son liveth. The Lord of glory has administered healing to an absent child. He's not there. But he's whole. He's whole. The Lord of glory is a great healer. Amen.